was Alan Jackson's Gone Country. And like no one questioned that when I said that. Everyone just like kind of stood in their chairs and were like, yeah. I mean, it is a great song, right? But like to expect that I would like that song, I'm just like shocked. Like you guys have welcomed me in already. Like I'm already country. This is great. I'm not. I'm a city boy, I promise you. Through and through. I'm trying though. I'm trying. I'm learning new things. One of the things I learned is that the different things that you do like around your house are called chores. Like you do stuff with the horses, those are chores. You do stuff with the hay, that's chores. Whatever you're doing, there's chores. It's not like tasks, you're not fixing stuff, you're not cleaning stuff. Everything is chores. Like is this true? Help me out, I'm trying to learn here. Okay, I didn't know that. I don't call everything chores. Like chores are what we give to our kids. Clean up your room, you know? Don't talk back, that's a chore. But apparently everything you do is chores. I have no point in this story other than to say I'm trying to learn, okay? I want to be a part of this community. So this week, we're going to be in Psalm 8. And I have to admit to you, this is my favorite psalm, my absolute favorite. I love this one. And one of the things and why I chose this week to do this psalm is I specifically chose it because we often go on vacation in the summertime and we'll visit different national parks. We're trying to visit all the national parks. And so we were out in Maine and I knew I would spend time in creation and then I would come back and talk to you about this psalm specifically. So that's why I chose. See, I plan ahead. Y'all didn't think I planned ahead, but I do. Okay. Wait till you hear the sermon series for October. Yeah, it's going to get you. It's going to get you. It's not. I don't know why I said that. Let's open up the word, won't we? We're going to be in Psalm 8. And I know Brandon already read it, but he didn't read it very well, so I'm going to read it again. I'm just teasing, Brandon. Just teasing. Let us read the word. O Lord, O Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. What are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now with open hearts, open hands, and a posture of worship, asking that your spirit will be upon us now. That as we dive into your word and your truth, it would be your spirit that is present with us today. That you would allow our hearts to see what it is that you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that when I stumble and mess up the words, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people. That it would only be your voice and your word they hear today. Let it not be of me, but of you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So I want to talk about a different vacation first. Because a lot of what Psalm 8 is, it's a psalm for those that like to wonder. Right? This is what Psalm 8 is. It's like to sit and wonder. And I'm not talking about like the adult wonder, okay? Because adult wonder is very different than what kids wonder about, right? We could agree on that. Like adults wonder, like, I wonder what's going on in that room. If you have kids, you say this often. I wonder what they're doing in there. Crash, bang, break. What's going on in there? I don't hear anything, right? That's a different kind of wonder than a kid who sees a box and they're like, I wonder what I can make. What can this box be? And that's the kind of wonder that we're talking about in this psalm. And I was reminded of this vacation we took. They were doing like a regional thing for the Wesleyan Church when I was in Ohio. And so we got to go down to Tennessee in Pigeon Forge. And so we were able to go to a conference there. Now, I'm more of a Gatlinburg person than a Pigeon Forge person, but that's a different time for a different... Anyways, so we're down there, and Judah, who is our oldest, was... Man, I should have approved this story before I said it. We'll say he was between 3 and 5, okay? I don't know how old he was. You're asking the wrong person. She's back there. Ask her. So we walk into this hotel. And as parents, when you walk into a hotel, there's different things that you do, or at least that we do. But when you walk into a hotel as a kid, it's endless possibilities. Absolutely endless possibilities. I mean, you see the bed and you're like, how high can I jump on this bed? Is this what it looks like on the moon to jump? Like, you know, these are things that kids wonder. Or they see the fridge and like, how much candy can I fit in that fridge? Or they'll see like the remote control and they're like, this is a really cool phone that I'm going to call everyone I know, which is like 3 people. Now, as an adult, don't jump on the bed. Actually, get off the bed. Don't touch that top cover because I don't think they ever wash that thing. Let's just take this here and shove it over here. Don't get on the bed yet. We have to check for what? Bed bugs. Bed bugs. Oh, see, I'm not making this stuff up. It's true. We walk in, we see the remote to the TV, and we're like, don't touch that thing. You know, like the little bag they use for ice? Like, we take that bag, put the remote in it, tie it up, and that's how we use the remote. Because, you know, people go to the bathroom and then come back and use the remote. This is just a reality. Well, you guys don't think about that? Guys, do not use the TV remote at a hotel. Oh my, you taught me something. I'm gonna teach you something today, okay? Don't touch that thing. Unbelievable. But we look like, Heidi and I, we look like these maniacs. We're walking into this hotel room. We got disinfectant wipes in our hands. And we're like wiping down every surface that we can get close to. And Judah's just like, what are we gonna do? I mean, the room's like this big. And he just thinks it's like the coolest thing ever. That's the kind of wonder that I'm talking about. And I think that's the wonder that David is talking about when he wrote this psalm. It's like, how do we as adults now, right? We're cynical. We've been through life. We've been through ups and downs and pain and struggle. How do we get back to that type of wonder? And I think this psalm will help us. So let's jump into it. Psalm 8:1 says this, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Our first point is this, praise starts with awe, not answers. O Lord, our Lord. Why would David use Lord twice? I think this is the important part of this very first verse. And we're going to spend some time in this verse because I think this verse sets up the rest of the psalm. And so you have this, O Lord, our Lord. So you have Yahweh, and then you have Adon. All right, those are the original language words. And so basically what you have is you have the sovereign God, and you also have the loving Father, right? This is what David is trying to convey when he says, "O Lord, our Lord," is that God is sovereign over everything. He controls everything. He created everything. This is just with one word that David is executing this, that God is over all of this and our Lord, meaning he is close, he is near, he is intimate with us. David does this with two words. And the original audience of this psalm would understand that when he spoke those words, he was saying that God is creator and ruler of everything that you see. Yet, he is close and near and intimate like a father. And that's why he goes on to say, "Your majestic name fills the earth." You see, what David is revealing here is he's revealing the character of God in two words. And oftentimes when we read a psalm, we're not in the know with the original language. And so we see, we're just like, "Oh yeah, oh Lord, Lord." They just said it twice. I don't know why they said it twice. But what David is revealing, what he's trying to show the audience, and what he's trying to show us, is how big and grand and expansive that God is. That his majestic name fills the earth. And as he goes on in the psalm, we'll learn that earth that he's talking about, yeah, Lord is the one who created all of it. What David is trying to do is to separate God from creation. Oftentimes, people will put those together, that God is creation. No, 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 no. David says, no. God is over creation. He is the one who created. It's the creator versus the created. That's a very important point to distinct right here in this very first verse. Because if we mess that up, if we mix those together, then God isn't God. If God is just a part of creation, he is not the creator. It's very different. Would you agree? That the one who created, his majestic name is the only one that can fill the earth. That's it. I mean, we're 20 minutes in. We're only on one verse. Like, but this is what David is trying to convey to the reader, is that there is no other name that is greater than God. There is no greater name than Yahweh. And so I want to let you in on a little something. We'll talk about a different vacation, all right? So I got vacation on the mind. I'm just gonna go there. Quiet, Keith. So one of the things that when we go to like a national park, we've been doing this for a few years. One of the things that my wife noticed very early on is if I don't have time to like hike, I get very cranky, very cranky. And so the first few times that we went out, you know, we had young kids, so we'd hike like a mile, maybe a mile and a half. And I would just be like super frustrated because nobody was hiking. We'd hike here, then we'd have to stop, and we'd have to hike here and stop, and then everyone would need snacks and all these sort of things that go along with. I love my kids, by the way. Just, I know it's sounding like I don't. I really do. But my wife noticed this very early on. She's like, "Listen, you're cranky. And we're on vacation. I don't want a vacation with that guy." So we came up with a plan. And this was her plan, not mine, just putting that out there. She said, "I want you to take one whole day to yourself. When we're on vacation, we're in a national park, take one whole day to yourself. Leave me with the kids, go off, hike, wherever you want, do whatever you want, spend some time in nature and just contemplate life, whatever you need to do. Whatever you need to do to be happy on vacation the rest of the days, that's what I want you to do. And so that's what we started doing is I will take one day of our vacation and just go off and hike. And so what happened, I forget what trip it was, a few years ago, what happened was I would go on my solo hike and then I would sit with Psalm 8. And I found that those two things pair up really well together. And so this year, when I was sitting on top of a mountain by myself, no kids screaming, I sat with this very first verse for a long, long time. I won't even tell you how long because you won't believe it. 2 hours. I spent 2 hours with verse one, just sitting there on the cliffside saying, Lord, O Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. And I looked out. And so I'm going to, at the end of the service, I'm going to share with you what the Lord revealed to me during that time. But I just wanted to kind of set it up there as like, you can spend a lot of time. And I think that's what David was getting at with this first verse is like, there's a lot that can be said in one single line of scripture there. But good news for us, he wrote more. Psalm 8, 1b through 4 says this, your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Our next point is this. Wonder is where worship grows. So the first part of this psalm is giving glory, rightfully so, to God. But then the second part, and what we're getting into now, is David is beginning to find the value of us, of humans. And it's interesting because it's in contrast to creation and what God created. When you look at creation, and I'm sure that you've done this before, when you look at creation, you see something really, really beautiful. And you're just like, wow, that's amazing. That is of God. And you see that in front of you. And what David is getting at in this part of the psalm is he's saying that I want you to look at that and I want you to be in awe of what God is doing, what God has done, what God has created, the one who is supreme over everything. And then I want you to put yourself next to it. And so that's where we're at, is David is saying, when you see the stars and the moon and the sky, it's so beautiful. And what's the first question you're going to ask when you see something so expansive, so big, so grandiose? What are you going to say? Well, what's the point of me? Do you guys not feel that way? I'm sitting on top of a mountain. I'm looking out. I'm like, who am I? If I just disappeared, life will go on. God's creation will continue. You sit on a mountain, you see all the trees, and you think about all the birds that are flying around, all the ants that are moving around. Like, we are so insignificant when we are compared next to God and his creation. That's the place that David wants you to get. In these first four verses of this psalm, he wants you to get to a place where you're sitting and thinking, why? Why am I important? What's the importance of me when compared with everything else? Why would God create me? And so when we talk about wonder is where your worship grows, it's like, are you asking yourself that question? Like, are you sitting and thinking, why did God create me? Like, I think that's a very important question that you should sit with. When you're alone in your quiet time, Lord, what is the importance of me? And most importantly, why did you create me? Because I think we all can agree that we were created for a purpose, but when stretched out against creation, we pale in comparison. And so hopefully you're at the place where David wants you right now, is sitting and thinking that you are so insignificant, that you mean nothing. And you should. You should feel like that. You should get to that place when you look at creation and everything that God has created, and you should feel insignificant. You should be like, I'm worthless. There's nothing good about me. Like, there's no good in me. Like, what? Verse 5. The most important word of this psalm is the first word of verse 5. Oh, I skipped over some, Riley. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back. I'm going to come back to that, Riley, okay? Let's go to verse 5. Can you bring up verse 5 for me? I know, I messed up. I told her not to mess up today, and I did. Just drop down a little bit. So verse 5 says this, "Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor." That first word is the most important word of this psalm. Because David wants to get you to a place where you feel insignificant, small, and worthless, yet God is the one who created you. And so since God created the cosmos and everything in it, and we deem that to be significant, he also created us. And so we are significant. Anything outside of that, any thought that we are significant without God, it's a lie from the enemy. If you find your worth and your value in what you do, it's worthless. Go back to the first four verses. All of this, you, insignificant, yet God created you. All right. I'm going to go back, Riley, all right? Psalm 19, 1 through 4 says this. "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made his home in the heavens for the sun." So again, creation is speaking of God with no words. Like, that's how you know you're good, right? Like, if what you created speaks of you, you know that's pretty good. Like, that's God's, like, trump card. He's like, did you see what I made? Yeah, that's me. That the creation would speak of his name without any words. Like, you can look at a sunset and think, this is so beautiful, and have those feelings of God come on you and say, wow, what a creator we serve. That he would create something like this. Like, that's what that psalm is talking about. And it goes along with Psalm 8, is that his creation is speaking to us. So whatever he has created is showing his relevance, his worth, his value. And it goes back to verse 1, that he is sovereign over it all, yet he is near and close. Psalm 8, 5 through 8. And we already read verse 5. Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. Our next point is this: God didn't just form you, he entrusted you. If you read this part of the psalm, so you get to this place where David wants you, where you feel insignificant, but then he says, yet you are important. And then he starts going through why we're important. If you get to this place in the psalm, you're like, this sounds familiar. Like, what's he talking? Like, I feel like I've read this before. Like, I've known this before. So what David is doing here is he's going back to Genesis and the creation account. And he's bringing it all forward. And why is he doing that? What's the significance of telling us about why we were created? It goes back to verse 5, first word, yet. And so the original audience who was reading this would know very well the creation account. And I'm assuming that we know it pretty well as well. And so when we read this psalm and we get to this point where he talks about having rule and dominion over things, we should immediately jump back to Genesis and think about the creation account. Because that's where we find our significance in why we were created. That's where we find our significance in the point of us. The question that David was asking: who are mere mortals? Who are human beings that you would care for us? And why would he care for us? Because we were created in his image. We were created in the image of God. And so being created in that image gives us relevance and significance in the vast expanse of creation. Genesis 1, 26 through 28 says this: Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. The image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. That's why we're significant. It's because we are made in the image of God. And that image is what gives us significance. But I'm here to tell you that we are a poor, poor image of God's image. Well, I won't speak for you. I am a very, very poor image of God. And I constantly fail him and let him down. But, right, there's always something else, right? But we've seen someone and we've read about someone who is the perfect image of God, who gives complete significance to that image. And it says this in Hebrews 2, 9 through 10. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into salvation Jesus is the perfect embodiment of the image of God. He is somewhere where we will never be able to reach. But we are still made in the image of God. And even though we constantly fall short and fail him, because Jesus was the perfect image and he went to the cross and died for us, we have the grace of God. That when we do fall short, when we do fall short of that image, the grace of God brings us back into relationship with God. And so when David is pondering this psalm, he doesn't have the luxury of Jesus. He can't pull up Hebrews 2, 6 and read through that. Or 8. What was it? He doesn't have the luxury of pulling that up and being like, oh, this is why. You know, in Hebrews, they quote this psalm specifically. And then they talk about Jesus. David doesn't have that. But he knows that something is to come. That God is going to restore his creation. And so the cool part for us, this is the cool part. You ready for this? We know about Jesus. Oh, I thought you'd be a little more excited than that. Wow. We know Jesus, and all I heard was, meh. I must have been on vacation too long. Wow. We get the perfect image of God. We get to read about him. We get to know about him. That's what God has given us. And you say, I'm just teasing you. I missed you guys. I enjoy teasing you. Which I think Matt said something inappropriate about teasing, didn't he? He used some inappropriate word. I don't know. He's been kicked out of the church. Don't worry about it. But to be the perfect image of God, something that we could never attain. Like, I couldn't imagine reading this psalm and not knowing Jesus. To have that question of, like, what is my significance in the grand scheme of everything and not know Jesus? Like, maybe that's just because we live in the time that we do and we have Jesus, but to sit and ponder that question without Jesus is kind of scary. Like, I don't know if you get scared, but I get scared. Because without the grace of God through Jesus' death, like, we're so insignificant. And there is no restoration of our relationship with God without Jesus. And so to think that you can live outside of Jesus and find significance, it's just a loss. It's a loss. There is no significance outside of Jesus. And I can't get to that place where David was to have that kind of faith without knowing Jesus. Let's go a little bit further. Last verse, Psalm 8, 9. This might sound familiar. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Our last point, or next to last point, is this. When God is your bookend, everything in between makes sense. So David is using a bookend here of the same verse. And we kind of talked about this the first week, is they often do this in Psalms to show the importance to kind of rein everything in together. And so if you think about it, the way that David is saying this is everything that was in between here is so important. But what I want you to continue to do is to worship God. So everything I told you about your significance and how you line up in the image of God and all of that, that is important. But the very last line I want to leave you with is the same one we started with. O Lord, our Lord, the one who is sovereign over everything, the creator of the universe, the one that wants to be close and near, That's the one you should continue to worship. Riley, will you bring up that picture, please? So I told you about a mountaintop I was on. That's what I was sitting on. A beautiful place. So I get to the spot. Well, I'll tell you another story. The story inside of a story, okay? I got to one place, and I thought I was alone. But people kept coming up, and they were talking. They're jibber-jabbering. I'm like, do you not see what's around you? Why are you talking? I wanted to say, shut your mouth, but I didn't. The Spirit convicted me. I didn't. So I got up and moved, and I found this spot. And I was alone for, you know, a few hours. And I just sat there. And I replayed verse 1 over and over. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. And I sat there and I saw the earth. I mean, in the back there, that's the ocean. You can see the horizon. You can't see anything else past that. And you know there's more. I don't know if you're a flat earther, but there's more, okay? But there's more out there. Your glory is higher than the heavens. When they thought of the heavens, they looked up and they saw the sky and they thought that this is the heavens. And David is saying, your glory is higher than this. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, how can anything be higher than this? I was on the highest point around there. What's higher than this right now? God's glory. Okay. When you sit and ponder your significance in a place like this, at least for me, I always get to the conclusion that we can't even see right now, but I'm going to not forget yet. Very first word of verse 5. Yet you are crowned with glory. Yet you were made in the image of God. Yet you were called to rule, subdue, and be a co-creator with God here on earth. That's where we find our significance. That's where we find our worth. It's not in ourselves, but it is of God. I want to read you what I wrote down in my journal on that mountain. This is what I wrote. Woe to the ones who find their significance outside the creator of the universe. We truly are insignificant in the cosmos outside of God. He is the one who has crowned us with glory and honor. He is the one who has given us dominion. He is the one who has called us to be co-creators. He is the one who has invited us into the story, which we would otherwise be a footnote. Woe to the ones who do not have an awe and wonder for the creator of the universe, giving everything that was there. God has invited us into the story. We have no worth, we have no value, yet God has invited us into the story. And we find our worth, we find our value in Him. Would you go ahead and stand with me? I want us to ponder this question. Does wonder still shape you? Or are you just walking through routine? This is an important question to ask ourselves. Are we allowing scripture like this to grab our minds? Are we willing to sit with the word? Now, I'm not saying that everyone has 2 hours to spend on top of a mountain. Right, I don't have that time now. I'm not on vacation anymore. Unless you guys want to pay me to do that every week. No? Okay. All right. That was worth a shot. But are you spending a significant amount of time with his word, pondering your worth and your value? Are you wondering about the things of God? Or are you stuck in that routine of daily rhythm, daily rhythm, daily rhythm? As a person who has many daily rhythms, I find this difficult sometimes. I find it easier on vacation to sit and wonder with God than I do back in normal life because I'm so routine and rhythmed. You can ask Leslie, not right now, but you can ask her. I like things to be a set way. But are you allowing those moments to kind of break away from that? To say, yeah, I'm supposed to have this done at this time, but I just feel like God's kind of leading me this way now. Or, yeah, I'm just going to sit with him now. I was supposed to do something else, but I'm just going to sit with the one who gives me significance. The one who looks outside of everything that's going on and says, you have value. You have worth. For no other reason than I created you in my image. And so we're going to play this last song here. And we were supposed to end after this song with some of the VBS songs. They were going to come up and dance. And I just, in my prayer time this morning, I really felt the Lord and the Spirit moving over me just to say that there's going to be a special moment at the end. That somebody here needs to respond to the word and the wonder of the Lord. I tried to get out of it. I said, Lord, those kids worked so hard at VBS. Why would you not want them up here to showcase what they did? He said, someone's going to respond to it. You may not see it. They may not come forward. They may not raise their hand. He said, but somebody is going to respond to God's word today. And so as your pastor, I promise you this, I will always be obedient to the Spirit. Even if Kathy hates me, I'm willing to take that if it is of God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Spirit, the one who gives us significance. When we look at all that you've created and we see how truly insignificant we are, we sit back with awe and wonder and look at all these wonderful things that you've created. But how often do we forget that you created us? Why don't we look at ourselves with awe and wonder to see all the wonderful things that you've done for us? You've created us for good. You've created us for relationship with you, Lord. So, Lord, you pressed upon me this morning that your Spirit would be present with us now, that somebody was going to respond to your word today. And I'm not asking for hands. I'm not asking for anyone to come forward. Because you know exactly who it is, where they are, where they're sitting. That today, they would be open to you. That given all the insignificance of them, they would hold on to the first word of verse 5, yet. Yet we find our significance in you. Lord, break our hearts to help us to get to a place to realize how insignificant we are. We often get lost in the daily rhythm of things that we do, and we think we're so important. But we are nothing without you. We love you. We praise you. Everyone said, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. Your significance is found on Jesus, who went to the cross and died for you. He died for me. He forgave our sins so that we could be in right relationship with him. Anything outside of that is no significance at all. And so I pray that we continue to put our trust in him, in Jesus. So good to be back with you guys. We'll see you next week.